name is Lenora Russo. I'm one of the pastors here today, and I have the privilege of saying to you, welcome home. If you have been traveling, we're indeed glad that you are back safe and sound. And if this is your first time here, that's a greeting that we share with one another each and every week, because we do want Trinity to be a place where everyone feels at home, like they can be themselves and encounter God in their own unique way. And so we hope that that's something you come to feel and experience as you're with us. I wanted to point your attention just briefly to the Connect card that was in your bulletin. If you'll take a moment to pull that out and to complete that for us. If you worship with us on a regular basis, just your name and your email address would be wonderful. And if you are newer to us or this is your first time, we would welcome as much information as you are willing to share so we can get to know a little bit more about you and help you get connected with Trinity and answer any questions that you might have. You can place this in the offering plates as they go by later in the service today. Also wanted to share with you that our Mission Box opportunity for this week is Created Gainesville. And this is a Christ-centered organization that seeks to reach out to those who have, women who have been trapped in the sex trafficking industry and who are looking for a fresh and new start, looking for a way forward out of the chaos that they have had to endure. And so they minister to these women, and we encourage you to prayerfully consider giving generously, which you can do at any of the mission boxes, the wooden boxes you see as you exit our worship center. And we were also collecting women's toiletries today. If you didn't bring them with you, you can bring them back this week. But any women's toiletries, anything that can help them get reestablished and feel beautiful, because that's who God created them to be, we encourage you to bring those things and place them in the blue bins that you see. We have been journeying this summer through the stories of Genesis on an unexpected journey, seeing where God's call leads each and every one of these people, which is often the places they would not have planned on their own. And this morning we're going to continue the journey with Jacob, who has a very real experience with God, and that is our hope today, that you will have a very real experience with God. So let us take a moment to greet one another and share that real love of Christ with those around you, and if there is someone you don't recognize, please make sure to introduce yourself to them.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing and let's begin worship as we join together in our opening hymn.
See my car. Oh God, we are all travelers on a journey of grace, and that journey has brought us here this morning. We pray that the worship that we bring glorifies you, and that it builds us up, and it edifies us up by having been gathered together in your presence and with one another. So use this hour, have your will and your way in our lives, we pray, in Jesus' name. Now let us affirm our faith together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, in power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ, and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. So as we enter into this time of prayer for the prayers of the church, I want to for us to celebrate this morning that all of our missionaries who were out all over the place this week have returned safely. We had a team in Guatemala, and June is back here with us this morning. We had a middle school team, some of whom are here this morning, in their Good Life t-shirts, who partnered with YouthWorks in Savannah, Georgia, doing a bunch of different service projects, and it was a really really great mission trip. And then we also had a large team in Tennessee with Appalachia Service Project. And so lots of folks out doing some good work this past week, and we want to celebrate the work that God did in and through them, and that they're home safely with us. Want to also invite your attention to the names of these folks who are receiving nurture and support from our congregational care team. And also wanted to give you the sad news that Judy Rembert passed into life eternal this weekend, and her memorial service will be here in the worship center tomorrow at 4 p.m. So let's keep the Rembert family in our prayers. So as we enter into this time of prayer, this morning I will be praying a litany for the church and for the world, and following each petition, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and invite you to reply, hear our prayer. And as we go into this prayer together, I invite you to use the sacred silence at the beginning to speak in the quiet of your heart the joys and concerns that you've surely brought with you to worship this morning. So let us pray now for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as Christ loves us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We offer these prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory forever. Amen.
He leadeth me, O blessed God, all words with heavenly comfort call. Whatever I do,
faithful followers of Jesus, we covenant with one another in our membership vow to combine our resources for the ministries of this church and our participation in God's work in the world. And so at this, during this time of offering, I would invite the ushers to please come forward, and as they come, let us pray for this time of offering. Gracious God, you are indeed the giver of every good thing we enjoy in life. And so with joyful hearts, we give back to you now from what you first gave to us. And we pray, O God, that you multiply these tithes these offerings, use them, have your will and your way with them for the good of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, we pray. Amen.
So you were in it after all. All of those moments I spent crying, something inside of me was dying. I didn't know that you heard me each time I called. You had a reason for those trials. Seems I grew strong every mile that I know. You were in it after all. We're always ready, Lord, to take the glory. You were with me when the sun was shining. You were still beside me when it rained. You were in it after all. Taking the blows that I've been given, mending the wounds that needed mending. I didn't know that you heard me each time I called. Yes, didn't seem easy now to see. I don't know how I when it rained, so you were in it after. Taking the blows that I gave, mending the wounds that needed mending. I didn't know that you hurt me each time. Guess that it's easy now to see. I don't know how I could have missed it, Jesus, but you were in it after all. Thank you.
invitation. It is my joy and privilege to be able to pick up where Pastor Catherine had left off last week in the telling of Jacob's story as we've been journeying through Genesis, exploring those unexpected places that God takes us to as we answer God's call in our life. If you were here last week, or if you're familiar with the story of Jacob, you might remember that Isaac is the son of Abraham and Sarah, and he married a woman named Rebecca, and they were blessed after quite some time, but they were finally blessed with twin boys, Esau and Jacob. And before these boys were born, while they were still in her womb, God told Rebecca that there were two nations at war within her, and that the younger, Jacob, would actually rule over the older one, who was Esau. Now, Jacob, from the very start, lived into his name, which meant heel grabber, because he was second, but it also meant a heel, which he definitely was. He conned his brother out of his birthright, which is a double portion of the inheritance, for a single pot of stew when he was hungry. And then Jacob conned Esau out of their father's final blessing by pretending to be Esau while Esau was out hunting. And that was the final straw for Esau. That was it. Jacob had taken it too far, and he was enraged and swore he was going to kill his brother to get revenge. Now, Rebecca gets wind of all of this, and she favored Jacob, so she tells Jacob, quick, you've got to run. You need to get out of here, and I want you to go to my brother Laban's house in Haran. Isaac finds out that Jacob is getting ready to go and summons him and says, go, but when you get there, don't marry any of the Canaanite women. Only marry from within Laban's tribe. And Jacob is out of answers. He's got nowhere else to turn, so he heeds his parents' instructions and he books it towards Haran. Now he stops for the night, the very first night, in a place called Bethel. And he lays his head on a stone, and he has a vision that is often referred to as Jacob's ladder. It's this vision of a stairway coming from heaven all the way down to earth, where Jacob was. And angels are descending and they're ascending, and it's this beautiful, glorious vision, and God comes down to meet Jacob where Jacob was and says to him, I am with you. I will protect you. He reminds Jacob of the blessing that he had given Abraham, his grandfather, and added to it, I am with you, and I will protect you. So everything's going to be okay. Jacob wakes up, and he moves onward, which is where we left off last week. And so before we continue on in Jacob's saga, let's just take a moment to catch our breath and to pray together. Creator God, you both formed us and call us for a divine purpose. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here so that as your scripture is read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. So Jacob makes his way to Haran and indeed finds his uncle Laban. And he is warmly welcomed by the entire family. They're so excited that he's there among them. And Jacob, virtually immediately upon sight, fell in love with Laban's daughter, Rachel. She's beautiful. And he agrees to work for Laban for 7 years to earn the right to marry Rachel, which he does. And time flew, and that day finally came, and he was ecstatic. And they go to get married. And it happens, except for the tradition in that area was that when you married, the bride was veiled completely until after the end of the first night of consummation. And so Jacob wakes up the next morning, takes off the veil, and finds out he married Leah, which is Rachel's older, less attractive, according to Scripture, significantly less attractive, older sister. That was not what he expected. So he's upset. Laban explains that this happened because in our culture, we don't marry off our younger daughters until the older one has been married. And so if you will live into this arrangement, if you will stay married to her, then I will let you marry Rachel. And you can do that a week from now for another 7 years of service. So Jacob was getting a taste of his own medicine for the first time in his life, which tells us that what we see in Galatians 7 is true. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. A person reaps what they sow. So, these two con men are trying to outwit each other for all of this time that Jacob is serving. And at the end of this tenure, this relationship between the two of them becomes so strained and so stressed that Jacob is once again fearing for his life. And God comes to him in a dream and basically says, it's time for you to go back home. You need to get up, head homebound, and I will be with you. So then he wakes up the next day, conspires with his wives, Leah and Rachel, for them to pack up all of their belongings and their children and secretly leave so that they don't have to confront Laban or worry about him taking some of their wealth. So they depart. Laban finds out that they've departed. He and his sons chase after them, and he catches up with them. And when he does, it is not a kumbaya, let's hold hands around the fireplace moment. It is extraordinarily tense, and a lot of drama unfolds. If you want to know the details, just go read it in chapter, I think it's 31, and you will find the details there. But essentially, these two men decide that the best thing they can do for everyone's safety is to come up with a treaty that they are going to part ways and they're going to stay apart. So they create the borders, they decide, you go your way, I'll go my way, and all will be well, we will be safe. They wake up the next morning, that is what happens. Laban heads back to Haran, and Jacob heads homebound, only to find out that his brother Esau is coming for him with 400 men. Now, Jacob is terrified. He's gone from one bad thing to the next. He is terrified that his brother is going to kill him, but not only him, but his wives and his children and everyone who is with him. And so he does everything that he can possibly think of to avert this possibility. He breaks up 580 of his livestock to give as a peace offering and sends them along with other things in 3 installments. So he sends the first wave, and then he sends a second wave, and then the third wave, and then he breaks up the rest of the travelers into 2 groups and sends part of that group ahead of him while he and his wives and his children stayed behind in that last group. Which brings us, finally, to our text for today, which comes from the 32nd chapter of Genesis. We're going to read verses 22 to 32. So hear now the word of God. Jacob got up during the night, took his two wives, his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the Jabbok River's shallow water. Jabbok meant he emptied himself. He took them and everything that belonged to him, and he helped them across the river. But Jacob stayed apart by himself, and a man wrestled with him until dawn broke. Then the man saw that he couldn't defeat Jacob. He grabbed Jacob's thigh and tore a muscle in Jacob's thigh as he wrestled him. The man said, "Let me go, because the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I won't let you go until you bless me." And he said to Jacob, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name won't be Jacob any longer, but Israel, because you struggled with God and with men and you won." Jacob also asked and said, "Tell me your name." But he said, "Why do you ask for my name?" And he blessed Jacob there. And Jacob named the place Peniel, because I have seen God face to face and my life has been saved. The sun rose as Jacob passed Peniel, limping because of his thigh. Therefore, Israelites don't eat the tendon attached to the thigh muscle to this day, because he grabbed Jacob's thigh muscle at the tendon. The word of God. For us, the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. So the first time that Jacob encountered a face-to-face interaction with God, it's this vision with angels coming and going, and it's glorious. And it's an assurance for him that God is with him and God is for him. And everything is going to be okay. But the second counter is in stark contrast to that. A man who is God in the flesh literally comes and wrestles with Jacob through the night. And while this figure is clearly divine, it appears that he chose to interact with Jacob as a human being, in part not to overpower Jacob. But there's more to it than that. I believe that it was also because God wanted to engage with Jacob in a real and in a tangible way. And as I consider the magnitude of what that means, it made me ponder a few questions. The first of all being, why would God, the creator of the universe, who could easily overpower us to get his point across when we need it the most, why would he choose to wrestle with us? I believe that answer can be found in the first three chapters of Genesis. Because God created human beings to be in a meaningful relationship with God and with each other. And God has never abandoned that desire or that plan. No matter what we do to try to mess it up, God has not changed his mind. And that night, Jacob found himself once again alone and scared, and he had nowhere left to run or hide. God refused to miss that opportunity to engage with Jacob in a way that was going to enable him to fully, finally gain some clarity so that he could be reconciled with his brother and so that Jacob's life could begin in a fresh new direction. The same is true for all of us. God never stops pursuing us and never wants to miss an opportunity to deepen our relationship with God or with each other. And sometimes those encounters come in the form of a holy hug, like that first encounter. And other times they come in the form of what I call a holy 2x4. We can be sure that whether it's a holy hug or a holy 2x4, God has our best interests at heart. And if that's so, then I'm left questioning, well, then why did the wrestling match end the way that it did? Why was Jacob left permanently disabled? The text itself doesn't really say, but tradition tells us that no one could see the face of God in the daylight and live. And so it made sense that God came to Jacob in the night so that Jacob couldn't fully see him, and he wrestled with him until the morning, but then insisted that Jacob needed to let him go, even though God had not prevailed yet. God did not intend for that encounter to be the end of Jacob's life. And even so, Jacob hung on. He clung to this man at that point that he knew was God, which means he knew if that dawn broke and he was still holding on, he was risking his life. So why would Jacob do that? Well, I believe that Jacob had come to such a desperate place in his life that he was willing to risk his life in order to receive a blessing from God that would finally bring that peace his soul was craving. I know that point in life. It's a place I found myself over 12 years ago as I was floundering in my relationship with God, and Aaron and I had just started going to worship regularly and serving on the praise team at Trinity United Methodist Church in Palm Garden. And whenever I was in practice, whenever I was at worship, I could sense God's Spirit. But I'd get beyond the walls of the church and out into the world, and I couldn't figure out where God was or what he was trying to do in my life and what I was supposed to be doing. And meanwhile, I had this business partnership that was just floundering as well. It wasn't going at anything at all like I wanted it to or I had planned. And that caused tremendous financial strain and hardship for not only our family, but my marriage with Aaron. And I found myself one night in a very desperate place, journaling my prayer, and tears were staining the pages as I wrote височ悬                �============                                            због                ================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================└================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================ screaming from within as I wrote the words on the page, God, where the hell are you? And to my surprise, I felt God respond. And God said, I am right here, where I've always been. And I knew in that moment that that meant that God was in that pit that I had dug for myself. With my gnashing of teeth and my misery and despair, God was right there in it with me. And then I sensed God say to me, when you decide you want to see me, as much as you want to breathe, you will. And I wrestled with God. And as I did, I began to understand that I hadn't been able to sense God's presence or hear God's direction in my life, because I was way too busy insisting that God, if God really loved me, then God was going to help me get these things that I wanted. He was going to help me fulfill my goals and my dreams my way. This was one of those holy 2x4 moments for me in my life that brought me clarity and peace. Because even though I was a believer, completely missed the point of Jesus Christ being Lord of my life. I had missed the whole concept of what it means for God to have lordship in our life. And so I found myself along this river of Jabbok, empty of my self-confidence, and finally willing to let God guide me, show me how to put one foot in front of the other. And it turns out that God's dreams and plans for me were 10 times better than anything I had come up with on my own. And that's the beauty of God's amazing and unfailing grace. God loves us, and God will never miss an opportunity to wrestle with us if it means that we can experience life more abundant, life as God intended us to, reconciled with God and with each other, and living into our most authentic and creative purpose, fulfilling who we really are supposed to be. And I believe that's precisely why God came and wrestled with Jacob that night, and why God struck Jacob in the hip. Yes, it was the hip, it was in that sciatic nerve, and so it forced him to let go. Yes, it caused him to have a permanent limp. But God was seeking to save Jacob's life in more ways than one. The same was true for me when I finally came undone. The moment I surrendered my will, for God's lordship, I knew that nothing was ever going to be the same. And yet, there God was, waiting to pick me up and dust me off, to offer me a blessing and a fresh start, and to put my feet on the path in a new direction. And God did the same thing for Jacob as he asked him his name. He answered plainly, Jacob. And as he answered, Jacob was emptied of his self-confidence and his cleverness, and he became completely undone before God. By saying his name, he was admitting who he had become. I am a heel. I have conned and manipulated everyone in my life, especially those I was supposed to love. And now, I am fearful for my life. And it is probably going to cost the lives of not only me, but those of my children and my wife. I've made a mess. God could have said, yep, you did make a mess of things. You really screwed up this time. And because of that, I am done. I cannot work with this. But God didn't say that. God never says that, especially when we get to those places that we are most vulnerable. Instead, God says, that's who you were. But now you are Israel. God prevails. And because of the way that Jacob acquired this name, it is also interpreted to mean one who strives. strive with God. Jacob then asked for God's name, but instead of giving him his name, he gave him a blessing. And the conversation ends there abruptly as the sun comes rising up over the horizon. New mercies for a new day. And though Jacob left that encounter with an unanswered question, Jacob gained enough clarity from that encounter to know that God was with him as he went to face his brother, which happened later that day. Esau and Jacob finally came face to face again, but this time Jacob approached his brother with humility and said to his brother, "I am here to serve you." And Esau responded with unexpected grace. And these two brothers, who had been warring together since they were in their mother's womb, not even when they were born, before that, the war was finally over, and peace was between them. And it's always great when we tell stories, our stories, stories in the Bible. We always love it when our stories end up neat and tidy, and good wins over evil, and everybody goes home happy. But if that's where we stop or put our focus with this story, I think we miss the point of Jacob's story altogether. Because Jacob's life was anything but neat and tidy, even after he made peace with his brother. Which is good news for us. It means our lives do not have to be neat and tidy in order for God to want to have a real and authentic relationship with us, or to bless us, or to offer us a new start whenever we need it. God knows our hurts. God knows our hang-ups and our bad habits, and God loves us all the same. And God wants to be in a meaningful, real relationship with us that guides us and forms us so that we can live into our full potential, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. Like Jacob and Isaac and Abraham, we too were created and called and are blessed by God to go and be a blessing to others. God promises to be with us each and every step of that journey. But here's the thing. If we really want to experience God's blessings, the kind of blessings that bring us renewal and transformation and our life more abundant in Christ, if that's what we really want, then we have to be willing to go to those places that the Celts call sin places. Sin places are where heaven and earth are sin, so that we can sense God's guiding presence and respond. We all need places like Bethel, places where God can come and assure us that God loves us and God is with us and God is for us and everything is going to be okay. For me, at least right now in my life, there's a couple places like that for me, but not very many. One is at the United Methodist Church's camp in Leesburg, Warren Willis and the Life Enrichment Center. It's a very thin place for me. It's a place I can go and sense God giving me a holy hug when I need it most. It's also the chapel that we have here on this property. And for me, it's this table that we come to each and every week. That's a sin place for me. In addition to the Bethels, we also need those rivers of Jabbok, those places that we can go to where we can examine our life and allow God to wrestle with us and empty ourselves and come undone with God and allow God to piece us back together in ways that bring redemption and healing where we are still in need of those things. And for me, I find that place is also Warren Willis Life Enrichment Center out in Leesburg, which means every time I go out there, I have no idea if I'm going for a holy hug or a holy 2x4. And yet, my life has been changed more in that particular space than any other. God uses it as He chooses to help me become who God created me to be. If you know where your whole, where those thin places are for you, then that's wonderful. As you're planning your fall and your winter schedules, I'm going to encourage you to plan time to be in those thin places often. Those thin places can be anywhere, but they're often not everywhere, so plan to be there. And if you don't know where those places are for you, then prayerfully ask God to reveal them. My experience has been that it's the places where I am willing to be most raw and real, so that God can use me there and change me and set me on a new path. As Christ Church, we worship the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which means we are grafted into God's people, and it means that we are called to be those who strive with God for our own salvation and for the transformation of this world. And so no matter where we are on our journey of faith right now, we can be assured that God loves us with an unfailing love, and God is never going to stop believing that we are worth pursuing, and God is never going to give up on us living into our full potential. God's greatest desire is for us to experience His presence in this life and to live into who He created us to be. And God promises to strive with us in that journey, step by step. Our world needs more Israel, those in whom God prevails. And our world needs a whole lot less Jacob, those who are self-seeking con artists, and constantly looking to manipulate things for their own self-interest. The truth is that within each and every one of us, we have the potential to live into either of those characteristics. What helps us become more like Israel, where God prevails, is being courageous enough to go to those thin places. And so, I pray that you will. May we be courageous enough to meet God in those thin places and allow God to wrestle with us until we come undone, and then allow God to put us back together with God at the helm, embracing God's lordship in our lives for God's glory and for the sake of the entire world.
Indeed, the communion table is a thin place. And God invites all to this table who seek to love Him and who seek to earnestly repent of their sin. We believe that when we come to this table, that Christ meets us, that there is a real spiritual presence of Christ, a real spiritual presence of the saints who've gone before us as we all physically gather together around this table. And the real presence of God was in Jesus Christ when He sat at the table with His disciples. And He knew that things were about to come undone for them in ways that they had no imagination of yet. But He wanted to institute a means of grace for them, a place that they could return to, place where they could receive God's grace, receive nourishment to continue moving forward on their journeys of grace. And so He took bread, gave thanks to His Father in heaven, broke the bread, offered it to His friends and said, "Take, eat. This is My body given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And when the supper was over, He took the cup, and again gave thanks to His Father in heaven, and then offered it to His friends, saying, "Take, drink, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Drink this in remembrance of Me." And so we pray, Almighty God, that You pour out Your Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make it be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast together at your heavenly banquet table. Through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit at work in your holy church, we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are going to be serving communion with us to please come forward and make the stations ready. And as they come, I'd like to let you know that in the United Methodist Church, this thin place, the Lord's Supper, is an open table. You don't have to be a member of Trinity or of any church for that matter. You simply come at the invitation, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You will find communion stations in front of each section. You're invited to begin from the front and work our way back, exiting our rows to the left and returning by the right. As you come, we serve by way of intinction, which means that we tear off a piece of bread and place it into your hand, and then you're invited to dip it into the cup to receive both elements together. If gluten-free is a need that you have, we have a station here and a station here. If you would just let one of the servers near that section know when you come forward, they'd be happy to serve it to you. The table is set. All is ready. Please come and receive God's grace. set us at this table, having been nourished by your grace, we pray that we leave here empowered, equipped, ready to be your hands and feet in the world. In Jesus' name.
Would you please stand as we continue by singing our closing song?
Is God's faithfulness to each and every one of us. I wanted to make sure I remembered, because I forgot at the other services, to invite everyone back for the potluck that's happening right now across the other side. So make sure all of you come, so it looks like I said it at all three services, because our missionaries who've been gone, our three teams, are going to be sharing about their experiences. And so it's a potluck. If you brought something to share, awesome. If you didn't, Franny is taking care of more than what we need. So come and enjoy and hear about how God was at work over the past week. In addition to that, our mission for next week, the tangible things we've been collecting, will be school supplies for Rawlings. And so if you want some ideas on that, just contact our front office, but bring those with you next week. In the meantime, as you go out from here, may you go out and intentionally go to those thin places where you can meet with God. And I don't know if you're going to get a holy hug or a holy 2x4, but trust that in those thin places, God is going to meet you and transform you and renew you and bless you. And then go from there filled with God's peace and God's power and God's joy and God's Spirit flowing out of every pore of your body. Go into the world and share that love and that good news with everyone you meet. Go in the name of God.